Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Set our intention, right?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are the wrong finger. They're never dull. Okay? We're back down in Australia with my friend, Jenny Stanley Matthews. She has a full suite of services, a menu of modalities to heal you, to love you, to strengthen you, and empower you. Well, I'm just going to ask her, what does this empowerment mean? And who gives you the power to empower? You got some pixie dust? I want to know. She is a brilliant woman. She is a part of an anthology that's going to be coming out this fall, Heart-Centered Leadership. I'm going to ask her about the pages of that. Plus, she has a previous body of work, so she's a two-time author. She is a teacher's teacher. She is a practitioner coach. She's got a course coming up in the fall for that as well. And art therapy. We're gonna talk a little bit about art therapy and how art is a way of expressing yourself like no other. You have no idea of your under-discovered talents when you pick up a brush or clay. So we're going to talk to her about all of that. Welcome on the edge, Jenny.
Thank you so much for that interruption.
interruption. Okay. An introduction is an interruption. So that's good.
Thank you, April. That's beautiful. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about, let's jump in the middle. Let's jump right in the middle and then work our way around. Because, you know, people like to tell the progression. I like to get to the meat. The middle is the good part. How in the world did this modality or these modalities find you?
After being in the corporate world for a stint, I ended up in kinesiology through seeing it, you know, three times after starting a family. I moved out to regional Australia and was out there doing something completely different. And it just grabbed me. It's something that I thought I could use with my family. And I ended up learning the whole six levels and everything that I needed to become accredited at the time and became a kinesiologist. But I've always been creative. I've always been very intuitive. And I learned from a very young age the power of the mind and the power of the unconscious and the power of belief. And so I had a thirst to learn about modalities that tapped into that. And so I've just kept adding to my what I can offer, because I like to just draw on bits to personalize to whoever I'm talking to. I want to personalize and meet their innate healing intelligence and give it what it needs and draw on all these abilities. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of work. Let's talk about empowerment.
Yep.
Empowerment is to me like a codependent. It's allowing someone else to unleash your power. I get coaching, not even coaching, because the word coaching, authentic, and there's another one. It's oversaturated, in my opinion, you know, and it becomes diluted and cheap because everybody doesn't have the ability to be empowered.
That's right.
Let's just take it that everybody's not going to be a leader, okay?
That's
okay. I have no problem. I've been a good follower, and if I have to follow again, I will. People don't get that. They don't understand their place in the world. And so they rely on external forces, influences, drugs, sex, modalities, religion to fill this gap. How does working with someone and calling yourself an empowerment coach really help them go through this? Because there's therapy, you know.
Yeah, they come to me because they're ready to change. I really put it out there that I have clients that match my vibration. When I first started, I didn't. I was feeling responsible for their change and it wasn't working. I learned the hard way. It was taking its toll on me and on my body, and I couldn't do it for them. So I went through a process where I learned that these people, I needed to attract people that were ready to do the work. And I can't empower anyone. I can give them the tools, but ultimately my job's done when they become self-sufficient, when they take personal accountability for their own healing, that self-actualization. What I'm teaching them is we all have tools within our body to become empowered. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't know this, but there's ways you can tweak what you already have to work in your favor. And I educate them on that in simple ways. I don't want it to be hard. And empowerment isn't about being a leader. Everyone's on their individual journey with empowerment. Empowerment to me might mean something different to you, but it's a power that comes from within that you draw on, that's your life force, that gets you up in the morning. And when it's not within you, you look for it outside of you. And that's when you start to become a slave to your job. That's when you become a people pleaser. That's when you become codependent in relationships. When you can take your power back and have it within you, you open up a world of choice where you can choose if that relationship's the best one for me, whether I really should be in that job. It gives you choice. It allows you to have boundaries to bring back balance. It lets you discover what your needs and desires are, which a lot of people who rely on external sources for their self-worth, they don't even know what their needs and desires are when I ask them. Right. And your needs and desires are directly connected to your potential as a person. You need to know what they are.
Absolutely.
So all that shifts when you move the energy within you instead of looking for it outside of you. Yeah.
What do you think of this age of Aquarius and the female energy? Do you feel more powerful? I do. I do. I'm just feeling in command, in control. How do you feel?
I felt that way when I turned 50. I don't know. Something happened when I turned 50. That was a few years ago, and I don't know, I just felt comfortable in my own skin all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know what you will allow and what you won't allow.
Yeah.
What you've allowed into your heart is also art therapy. You are such a creative. I'm a creative too. I dibble and dabble with art. And one of the things that I found, I'll tell you a quick story. Brains, I love to share my stories with you. It was my brother. My brother passed away, and as we were cleaning up his apartment, we found that he had a pottery wheel. All of these years, I never knew that he had a pottery wheel. He learned it when he was in jail. Bless his heart. But this was something that he really, really loved, and I saw a couple pieces of his work, and I was just mesmerized. Children. Art therapy when there is distress or they've seen some trauma or they're trying to express themselves, come out in art. People with mental challenges, autism, there's all kinds of things that come out through art. How did art come through you?
As a child, I used art for my own therapy. When I was stressed, I used to draw and escape into my art. As I got older, I ended up learning it. There's art as therapy and there's art in therapy. So art as therapy is when you draw to sort of calm yourself down or to express yourself. Art in therapy is when you actually use the art as therapy. So when you draw or put pen to paper or create or do pottery or any sort of creativity, because humans are naturally creative creatures, you are tapping directly into your unconscious mind. Mm. So if I get somebody to draw a picture, maybe of a house and a person, or let them just draw whatever they want, instead of us talking about their trauma, because trauma isn't stored in the part of the brain where you can articulate. And when you ask someone directly to talk to you about their trauma, they can't really tell you. But when you get them to draw And you don't even have to talk about the trauma. You can ask them questions using their picture, like, why did you go for that color? Or tell me about those shapes. How do they make you feel? They're actually giving you the answers to that trauma without having to go there directly. Mm. It's just a gentler way to do it, and it's more directing to the unconscious. Yeah, it's just, wow. I did it recently with elderly people out in regional Australia. I toured for a couple of weeks and caught up with them in all the towns, and we were talking about their health and what they needed for their health, and I ended up getting little animal shapes, and I got them all to choose an animal, and they had to draw what that animal needed. They had to draw on a bit of paper as if they were drawing the habitat. What did it need for security? What did it need for companionship? And I got them to all draw the habitat of the animal that they picked. And then we put the animal in there and they loved it. Yeah. Then we talked about it, because some of them had a really tight closed gate. They really wanted the security. Others had no people in there, no friends. So you can use art as a way of, it's enjoyable because we're naturally creative as humans, but it's also a way of gently talking about something, and people get it when you talk about it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what type of things do you do at the center? Tell us about the center.
I've got a little cabin that I outside of my home that I work from, and I also work online. But I'm really flexible within whoever comes into the door. They might come in specifically for kinesiology, and then it might lead into a bit of NLP.
I hate to interrupt, but can you explain kinesiology
for my brain? So kinesiology, there's about 40 different types now, but they all work with the movement of energy. That's what kinesiology means. And we use muscle monitoring or muscle testing to get access to your body's innate healing intelligence. So the muscle testing bypasses what you consciously know and gives me access via your central nervous system and shows me yes or no, stress or no stress, depending on what I'm asking you. And so I can ask your body how it's being impacted by the issue, unconsciously, what emotions involved, where the energy is being blocked, because it's about movement of energy. I can even muscle test back and find out where the original motion was laid down, and we can go back to that original source of that emotion, which I've found very powerful. Yeah.
So that's a little epigenetics.
Epigenetics is very interesting to me.
Everybody's doing it. You know what? And in all honesty, Jenny, I don't know if I want to go back. Hell. it's enough stuff going on right here, okay? Right now with the COVID and being the lockdown, and you can't, you know, the isolation is wearing me out. Now I'm trying to be patient, and I'm a patient person. And if this is not a God moment, whether you believe in God or not, I do. You know, this is a true awakening. What has this all taught you about yourself?
It's taught me that I'm adaptable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm fortunate to live in a beautiful part of Australia where I don't feel as, I'm very sociable, but I don't feel as impacted by it because I'm in a nice place. My work's become more flexible. I do more work online. I've come up with techniques that are more adaptable online. Our family spends more time together. It's a bonus. I see a lot of fear, and I see a lot of different personalities come out in people, how they respond to it, how they respond to you, you know, and all the arguments to and for, against. It's bringing out, it's an opportunity, it's bringing out a division, but I think it's an opportunity for all of us to say, what do we want life to be like after this, and agree on that instead of trying to fight over all the detail in between here and after this.
That's why I said the epigenetics, I'm over it already. Yep. I was liking it, you know, and I dig it. You know, I even wanted to do a past life regression one time, but to just really kind of figure all of that out, I'm trying to figure this out. And to block those generational curses, or not, you know, curses, or I don't know what you call it. You know, there's going to be pain, because without pain, you would not know pleasure. And you have the pleasure of writing all of this great stuff down in books.
Yep.
Tell me about your writing.
So when I started work at a five-star health retreat as a kinesiologist back in 2008. I was there for 10 years. Mm. What surprised me, because I had my own self-worth issues growing up, and I was dealing with mums and dads, successful business owners, elite athletes, celebrities, and self-worth issues were coming up all the time. And so it showed me that they didn't discriminate, that we were taught money plus success equals happiness, and it doesn't, because all these people weren't happy and they had all those things that we were told on paper we need to have to be happy. And so it made me realize, like, we're all the same inside, we're all human regardless of what we've created. And it made me realize that in a lot of these cases, that low self-worth drove people to be successful because they had something to prove to themselves and others, but they ended up building this big source of power outside of them, which always needs to be tweaked and grown and maintained, and never feels safe, because you never feel like you're enough. You always have to grow it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up creating this book, Embrace Your Power, and I've made it as simple as I can.
Yeah, hold it. Yeah, because I want people to see that. Move your fingers. That's right. Okay, take that pretty picture. Cheese. All right, go ahead. Tell me about
it. Yeah, I've made it as simple as I can, and I realized it couldn't be a one-size-fits-all approach. So it's almost like talking to me when I ask you questions and you gain your own insight. And you gain your own insight throughout the book. And I've actually, on the flip side of the book, I've got a journal. So you've got the workbook on one side. The flip side has a journal. So you can start.
A two for brains.
Yeah. So you've got everything you need in one book, so that the journal's got a checklist of things you can do each day. So it's a no-brainer, really.
Okay. All right. Wait, I'll put you on the spot. Go ahead and flip to a section and educate me real quick. Give me like a minute and a half pitch to convince me that I need to do it. All right.
All right. I've just opened on forgiveness. Now, this is about self-forgiveness. This is a big thing. This is how you transmute energy through forgiveness. Okay. The reason we still have unresolved emotions hanging off us is because there's something we needed to learn from them. They'll keep draining our energy and hanging off us. I like to imagine them as like little helium balloons hanging off us. And forgiveness isn't about condoning something. It's about letting it go. And the way that we let it go is we have to learn from it. The reason it's still hovering there and waiting for us is it's got a lesson for us that we need to take. So you need to go in there and find out what you need to learn from, because all energy can be used. But when it's in a negative form, it's draining us instead of fueling us. So when we go in there and we look for the lesson and we take the lesson from that experience and we send unconditional love to it to cut that cord, we can transmute that into an energy we can use now and move forward. And that's really what forgiveness is.
Yeah. It is the ability to move forward.
Use that energy that's been holding you back. Find the energy in it that you can use to move you forward, so you never have to go through that again in the same way.
Absolutely. So the anthology that you are in is a collaboration of 20 women, heart-centered leadership. What is heart-centered leadership? Because people right now want to invest in emotional intelligence and build relationship capital. It's great. Pitch that you're going to get somebody to the six figures, brains, when they're looking for the next 600. Okay, keep it real. This is tough times for everybody all over the world. This is the perfect pause. Okay, so we need to, we need to edit and filter and shift and do this other overused word of pivot. I feel like Tigger. Boing, 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 boing,
Pinball machine.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. Absolutely. So, tell me a little bit about the collaboration, though, with the ladies. Because you have to have a synergy. You have to have a vibe when you are in text and in print, because you're leaving history with these individuals. How do you collaborate with these women?
Well, this has been put together by Laura from Maven Press. And she's very intuitive. And when she put it out there, who wanted to be in this book, and she picked the authors intuitively. That's how she did it. Wow. She just knew the people that were going to come into this book. And we all had to write about what made us the heart-centered leaders that we are, the story that brought us to this point where we're all sharing this experience and writing this book so that we can share some wisdom with other people that want to be heart-centered leaders. But me personally, I found it, coming from a heart space, what makes you different is it's that coherence, that heart coherence. It's having done the work yourself on yourself, having that coherence within yourself and being able to express that outward and help other people to find that coherence as well. That's, I think, what a heart-centered leader is. And we all came to this space from so many different backgrounds, you know what I mean? And the stories, and I actually haven't read them all yet. I've seen a few of them.
Have an opportunity to, you know, do Zoom meetings when you in the collaboration and
get we do.
People a little bit better and have conversations with them. That's good.
Yep. We meet up and Laura actually organizes workshops for us, author workshops, and gives us tips, and we all get to know each other, and it's been a really great experience. The profits are to raise money for Indigenous scholarships for Indigenous authors in Australia. So all the profits go for that, and it's been a great cause. And I've energetically, it's been a beautiful experience, and it's been very cathartic for me. I touched on some areas in my life that I'd never spoken about before. So it's taken me out of my comfort zone, and it's been a great experience.
Do you have the cover of it? Is it out yet?
I haven't got it physically. It comes out in November, but I can post a in the comments and cover of it.
We want people to be on top of it and, you know, be in between those pages. In anthologies, it's very important that you don't get lost in there, you know, because it is your body of work. You have to be excited about it. You know, you're leaving a legacy. Let's talk about your practices. And you are a coach for practitioner for practitioners. You're a teacher for teachers. Tell me a little bit about that and your current offering, your online course for the self-worth.
So, yeah, I've got a couple of things going on. So I see clients still one-on-one, but I'm only one person. And I know how important this work is. And I think when people get to know themselves a bit better and start to heal, we all heal. You know, we're stronger together. And so I was thinking of ways to reach more people, and I've done that through books. But I thought, well, why not teach other practitioners the way that I do things, because I do things in a unique way. So I've developed this practitioner's course called Clarity Integration. So that's the manual for it. And it starts off with some kinesiology, and you don't need to know how to be a muscle test. I teach you that. I teach you how to surrogate test, because we're doing it online, different ways to do that. I teach them how to find a core emotion, how to have some clarity for that person, and then how to integrate that learning, because we're dealing with the unconscious mind, and the unconscious mind's job is to keep you safe, not to keep you thriving, just to keep you surviving. And so if you've got a dysfunctional behavior or a negative behavior, and your unconscious mind says, well, she's alive, it must be working for us, we're not letting it go, you need to find creative ways to convince the unconscious mind that it's safe to let this go, and let's replace it with this instead. This is a better way to do it. And so I have to come up with all different all different ways to make that happen. So I've come up with this creative clarity integration for practitioners, so I can teach them, and they'll have more tools to offer.
So you are allowing people to unleash their beast.
That's right. I want them to have lots of tools that they can offer their clients online, and in interesting ways, because you don't want to meet with someone and get the same thing over and over online. You want to have different ways to approach things.
I had to refer to my notes. You said interesting things. Okay, I didn't want to get out of this interview without doing this. Brains, you got to follow her on Facebook. She got some relaxation techniques. You know, you find a lot of stuff like EFT tapping and, you know, self-hypnosis. Well, will you do the unrolling of the ears, not experiment, but
The acupressure points.
Acupressure points. Can you
acupressure points.
Right, check this out. Okay, just sit up straight. Take a deep breath.
Sit up straight. Or stand up straight. Sit or stand, however you want to do it. Just before we start, just out of curiosity, just see how far you can see either side of you without moving your body. So look to the right, look to the left, and just see how far your eyes can actually see. Just take note. And now we're going to use some acupressure points in our ears. And in the old days, if you'll notice the shape of your ear, it's a little bit like a fetus, where this is the head, this is the neck, this is the spine, and this is the feet. And in the old days, apparently they pierced the first mate's ears on a ship to extend their sight so they could see land. So what we're going to do today to stimulate these acupressure points is we're going to start at the top of the lobe, unroll, massaging them. It feels really good. Unroll and massage it all the way down to the bottom of the lobe and release. And we're going to do that 3 times. Unrolling right down to the bottom of the ears, releasing. One more time. It also makes your ears nice and hot, and it heightens your hearing ability, and then release. And now let's just do that again where we're keeping our body straight and turning our head because we've stimulated the neck acupressure point there. And let's just see how far we can see now. We can actually see quite a bit further back behind us just from doing that. And if you have a bit of a stiff neck, do the ear acupressure because it really helps.
That is, that stimulates more than just your earlobes, brains.
Yeah.
Another lady taught me, she does the bars, you know, access bars.
Yep.
And she was telling me that all of your history and your life is stored right behind your ear in this place. So that is really an intense pressure point that I'm now
hitting.
So you have been a wealth of information. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, to follow you, to get some more great de-stressing online quick tips to learn these modalities. Maybe you're holding an art class. Oh, you know what? That might be fun. Let's circle around and see if we can get together and maybe we'll do an online art class together. What do you think?
Sounds great.
That'd be fun, huh? Yeah. All right. So anyway, see, brains, I get the hookup.
So you can you can find out all about my courses. I've got a self-worth course that runs for 21 days where I take you through that book and help you develop self-worth as well. But you can find all that on my website, jennystanleymatthews.com.au, or you can follow me on Facebook, which is Jenny Stanley Matthews, the Center for Clarity.
And I'm going to put all that, because she ran through it quick, brains. I'm going to put it all down at the bottom. I want you to like. I want you to love. I want you to subscribe. I want you to share. Okay? Listenership is important to me, brains. It really is. I go out. I find these great people all over the world. I'm down in Australia a lot. I'm coming to see you, Jenny. But it's a lot going on. I keep telling people it's the root chakra of the world right now. And you better get on board. It's like one of these tornadoes. It's just spinning, spinning, spinning. And we don't want to get left behind. Thank you so much for, you know, leaving corporate America to follow your heart and do what it is you're meant to do. And that's help and heal and teach others. You're amazing, Jenny Stanley Matthews. Thank you for being here on The Edge.
Thank you, April. Thanks for the time.
All right. Bye, brains.